is going on, everybody? Welcome to our downtown studios. This is Five Rounds Today. I'm John Ramdean. He is Robin Black. Coming up in the show, we will be joined by Chris Horodesky, who will be fighting in the main event of TKO 36 as well. We'll hear from Josh Hill, who takes on TriStar's Xavier Aloui on that same card going down this Friday night in Montreal. If you don't have your tickets, somehow get tickets.
I think it's sold out.
Is it sold out?
Well, there's probably a few.
I'm sure.
Darn close.
La Tohu in Montreal is the venue. Absolutely gorgeous. Robin and I are going to be there calling all the action.
I'm honored.
Me too.
I am.
Me too.
I grew up on TKO.
Yeah, I know. And just to get to see the history and get to be a part of this great night of mixed martial arts.
Live on Fight Network. And if you're our friends outside of Canada, Fight Pass. Live on Fight
UFC
Pass.
Fight Pass. And but before we get to the talking about TKO, we're going to talk about, because we haven't given this show love, UFC Fight Night 98. I know the UFC doesn't like when we call them numbers, but it's Fight Night 98.
Maybe the new owners do.
Maybe they don't care. Rafael Dos Anjos, the former UFC lightweight champion, taking on Tony Ferguson, El Cucuy, main event, Mexico City, five rounds. We know that Rafael Dos Anjos, who has left King's MMA. Mm-hmm. And it's amicable split.
I mean, so they say.
Well, I mean, again.
We never really know.
But Cordero has said, you know what? I understand.
He's an honorable man.
He is an honorable man.
Yes,
but,
so
but we've been around martial arts. We've been around martial arts trainers and coaches. And there's some guys that are more than happy to say, screw that guy. I raised him and he bailed on me.
That's exactly. And we have seen up close many, many times. Publicly, this will be said. Yeah. And privately, something else. However, we have no insight to say that's the case here. However, you know that the public statement – I mean, that's one of the things sometimes we talk about is like you watch a lot of the coverage. It's analyzing what people say. There are a million reasons for people to give you misinformation.
Yeah.
That's why it's a useless endeavor to try to take what they say as fact. Oh, man, best training camp I've ever had. Then after the thing, I got a plate in my head. my skull got busted.
It's funny that you say that because right now we know the main event, Rafael Dos Anjos and Tony Ferguson. Taking place in Mexico City, RDA says, I got to go down and get myself acclimated.
3 weeks maybe he was there, I think.
I think it was 4 weeks.
Okay.
I think he spent his first 4 weeks at Kings and then decided, you know what?
That's also why sometimes in the middle of your training camp to
maybe
then
it was your
have
thinking.
A public thing, but who knows?
Yeah, but also you're on the same card, Ricardo Lamas, former title challenger, taking on Charles Oliveira, and you said you saw an interview where Oliveira was like, I got to get this over with quick.
I'm a little concerned about this Mexico
this
thing.
This can't be real.
So I want to get it over with quick. That could be the truth.
Yeah.
But there are many reasons one might say that, including maybe my opponent reads it and thinks, he's going to come out fast, and he comes out slow. He didn't really train, and secretly he really did.
Yeah.
So misdirection, I mean, in the art of war, man, misdirection. It would make no sense to tell the truth about what you're going to do unless you want him to know that truth.
You're right.
And even then, if he's smart, he may doubt that truth anyways. It's all part of combat. And if we sit there and spread the things they say and analyze them and you know, instigate them and stuff, we're just being a party to their plan.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You have to think of it. That goes for the audience too. You have to think about it. Is somebody using us to send a message for a purpose other than the truth? And in combat, the answer should be yes. Why would anybody tell the truth? Now,
you don't want anybody to have any of your secrets.
As a rule, so they say this about hockey in particular, which we see up here, that'll be reported. John Ramdean is out of the lineup.
Yeah.
He has an upper body injury.
Yeah.
100% he has a lower body injury. 100%! Why on earth
would you
report actually what was injured? Of course you would be lying. Unless everybody assumes you're lying, so they think it's a lower body injury, so he really is an upper body. You know what I mean? It's all the layers of manipulation is part of the world of combat.
And you have to understand, it's like, well, why would they say that? Because they want to be safe. They don't want to give your opponent any details that would allow harm to come to the individual.
I've heard from Randy Couture and Matt Hume that if you have a sore shoulder or something, tape your knee.
Yeah.
Tape up your knee. You know? Like, he's got... If we were fighting in, say, kickboxing or whatever, and you saw that I had a taped knee, would you kick it?
But my question is this.
Tape your best knee then.
I'm not taping nothing. You know what I mean? And hey, I'm not doubting Matt Hume and not doubting. Yeah.
You've been killing it checking kicks.
Yeah.
Take your knee.
They're gonna. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I've just been checking kicks and countering with right hand.
Sure,
you want that guy to kick your leg because so part of your plan is how badass you are countering off
but
that.
My question is, if I've got a hurt shoulder, why am I taping anything? I don't want them to know anything. No. I'm not going to wrap that up because they're going to kick it for sure more than they were going to.
Get your checks in line.
Yeah.
Invite the kick, check it, hurt him, counter off the checks. If you really do want somebody to take you down, you pretend you're in a position to get taken down. Or if you want, like, so Tony Ferguson, front headlock, front face lock, whatever you want to call it, snap down, that guy is a master out of there.
Yeah.
Like, a master.
I agree.
So, what are some of the ways he can get to that? He can make you believe it's a good time to shoot on him. You shoot on him, you're already halfway there.
Yeah.
Snap you down. So that, it's not only, it's misdirection.
So how does he do that? Before we get to that point, does he use, because he's going to have a reach on RDA, is that the plan? Attack from the outside to force this
force
guy.
Him to come in? Because you think about that, that's having a position of control that you have that is better than everybody.
Yeah.
What among the things it allows him to do is be wilder, which is in line with his style. Because the stress of it on you, you come into that space. So the wildness, the overextending, allows you to take guys down typically. If a guy's overextending on you, nice time to take him down. He wants you in there. And he doesn't, like, this guy has excellent takedown defense. Takedown defense, we use as such a catch-all that it actually... If I want you to take me down, takedown defense suggests I execute a defensive maneuver of stopping a takedown. Most guys don't even need to do that. It's so automatic now. Nobody gets a single leg very often unless it's against somebody who's a spectacular single leg guy. The entire game, a segment of the game that Aldo and Barao and that whole team built through their dominant years was daring you to attack their single leg. And from that single leg, they dominated you. You have a thing that in your mind is good, but it's bad because they hurt you, dominate you, control you off your attempt at the single. Tony is the same, but it's the snap down. So if you come in on his hips because he's overextending and you get into that territory, he submits you, or you go, shit, I better not go in on his hips. Now what do? I'm on the outside letting him be frenzied. So it's a weird, he's got little weird segments of his style that fit together because he makes them fit together. It's really fascinating. Now, he's an awesome fighter.
He is an awesome fighter, and right now on a crazy run. I think it's 8-0 in his last eight fights. Since that decision loss to Michael Johnson, he's been on a tear. Now, however, these are the opponents. Mike Rio, Katsunori Kikuno, Danny Castillo, Abel Trujillo, Gleison Tibau, Josh Thompson, Edson Barbosa, Lando Venata.
The bottom end of the top 25.
So when I look at that, do any of those guys have the skill set? Can they compare to the former champion Rafael Dos Anjos? Will Rafael Dos Anjos, will he put himself in positions that will allow Tony Ferguson to use those techniques?
So let's say he didn't get to fight these guys. If he had to fight RDA at around, what's the fourth win? Who's that?
Abel Trujillo.
So if he fought RDA instead of Abel Trujillo, maybe not. Maybe it couldn't make that work. But now in real time, he's got to tinker with this combination of tools. So it's better than it was when he fought any of these guys. But it gets to get tested now. This is a top-notch... all the pieces are solid. All of the ingredients are put together really well. But at the same time, it's an interesting one. There's a lot of this going on right now. Connor and Eddie is this to an extent. Wonder Boy versus Woodley is this to an extent. There's a lot of these. New and different against really good at the combination that was the last winning combination.
Sure.
You know, you can wrestle and you can box, or you can kickbox and you can stuff takedowns and get takedowns. That sort of the way you assembled an MMA fighter up until 2016, these other guys are going, yeah, the way to beat that is what I do. So that's what Tony believes. He might be able to do it. The weird thing about him, I did the Sap Alvarez scale look at Alvarez and McGregor. This guy's a risk taker.
Yeah, of course.
This guy's a risk taker, and he's winning. He's winning with that. And no, when you lose, you're going to lose with that. It's going to be the thing that he wins with, and the thing that he's going to die on that sword too. But it may not be now. It may not be for a long time.
Part of his success, but I mean, it's MMA. It's just the numbers alone suggests that you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. Yeah. There's too many talented guys, especially at 155 pounds, for you to go on a crazy, crazy run. And when I look at Tony Ferguson, part of his appeal, in addition to that chaotic nature, is if you're going to fight in chaos, you have to be able to expect from out of nowhere punches and kicks to come. So you also have to be durable, and you have to be able to handle, you know, taking the pressure from RDA.
So this is weird. I started, you know how you, as we're doing commentary or whatever, you have ideas that just kind of come out and they become things you say. I started saying, space is where the chaos is.
Excuse me.
Space is where the chaos lies, right? Yep. Out here, yep. All kinds of chaos.
Yep.
So in researching more and more Bruce Lee, and I got a
amazing work, Bruce Lee amazing
tattoo art. Stuff here, which is really cool. It's being worked on. But the study of Bruce Lee and his work is an ongoing part of our job forever. It should be.
Yeah.
So space is where the chaos lies, Robin Black. And it doesn't really mean much other than out here, there's randomness. Then I look, and Bruce Lee, in one of his quotes, chaos, in chaos lies opportunity.
Yeah, right.
So in the space is where the chaos lies, but in the chaos is where the opportunity lies. That's how Tony Ferguson thinks. Chaos is chaos to you, but to him it's chaos, as you look at it, what is it? Oh, my God. To him, he sees it differently. He sees it as opportunity. There's another saying that chaos or randomness are just patterns that we don't yet understand.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't really chaos to Tony, although I would suggest that it is. I would infer that perhaps it is because he does get caught a lot in
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
But he's loose and he's relaxed and he can take these shots. I mean, he went down hard to Groovy Lando's kick, but he's relaxed. There's a weird – he's not tense, and that helps him a great deal.
But what if it wasn't –
RDA is tense.
But what if it wasn't Groovy Lando and it was RDA who landed that punch?
Oh, he's dead.
And that's what I mean. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're talking more about the fight night card going down in Mexico City on November 5th. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ramdeen and Black with you. Mexico City is the city, Mexico City Arena, the venue. UFC
Mexico, the country.
Mexico's the country.
Earth. The planet.
UFC Fight Night, Ferguson versus the former lightweight champion, Rafael Dos Anjos. And I was pretty confident that, not confident, because I know it's possible, because we're told to make predictions.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Which is stupid. It's not stupid. It's a function. It is a mechanism for discussion and debate on television.
Sure.
That, and when people do it online, what are your picks? It's a game.
Yeah.
Like, I've told you this before, but I blocked a guy. What was his name? He's a writer. I forget briefly, but because he was – somebody said, what are your picks? And I said, well, it's like 10 days out. I'm going to, you know, look at it more and study. But, you know, you never really know. And he was like, oh, yeah, real ballsy picks. And I'm like, I don't think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm never going to speak to you again. To me, somebody randomly picking something and saying, that's my thing. Look, I made a pick. That is not intelligent. That is – because there is a 50% chance that you will be correct. You will celebrate those, and when you're wrong, you will ignore those.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. It's meaningless. Do we think that Josh Hill may beat this X-Man, Xavier Alouie? Yeah. I mean, he has fought higher-level guys.
And that's what I look at.
But then this kid is undefeated, swagger in there, believing tonight's his night. And, you know, I mean, there's no such thing as predicting anything.
No, but the reality is, if I decide, you know what, I'm going in there against Roy Nelson, and I am pretty sure, you know, I hit the treadmill a couple of times, I hit the heavy bag a bunch of times.
I'm going to take Roy Nelson.
Exactly.
But I could be wrong, because there is, what, 2 in 100 chance? What if you land that big thing? Well, he's got a pretty good chance.
So there's all those different factors
that one
involved.
I'd be pretty good about. But still, there's
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you look at that, and that's what I'm saying when I talk about having our conversation with Alouie and Josh Josh Hill. I'm hoping that Alois surprises the hell out of us and he becomes a new prospect. That's like, wow, this guy just brought it, took it to Josh Hill. But I'm just not confident based on his previous opponents.
Sure.
You know, all of that stuff. And we've grown up watching Josh Hill. We've been in this, we've spent over the last 5 or 6 years watching him grow in the cage, being in the spotlight, dealing with this, dealing with the Ultimate Fighter. He's dealt with more than most athletes out there, whereas this Alois, when you think of TriStar, he's the last guy I think of.
Yeah, well, but he gets a chance to go.
Sure,
going from no test to the biggest test is a pretty
that's
crazy
what I mean.
Thing.
And that's
sure.
what I mean.
Hey, how many UFC fights did Ronda Rousey have? I'm going to say 6.
Is it that many?
5?
You could be right.
So let's say 6.
Misha, Holly,
Betch, when she came in, the girl was
Liz Carmouche, Alexis Davis, Katsingano.
Yeah, like 6 or 7.
Yeah, should have lost.
So if you were to say, who's going to win this fight, and you said Ronda Rousey, you would have been right, whatever 6 out of 7 is, like 80% of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're right 80% of the time. But that one time that you're wrong is just the end of the world. Like Joe, my buddy Joe, said that she is once ever. That is, there's no reason that's wrong. To train a kid from that young and make them a judo Olympian and take them to that level and have them win that way and dominate everybody and be able to be what she is once ever.
Yeah, very
But she
true.
Lost that time and people will Joe, once ever. What does that have to do with it? You lose.
People lose.
They lose unexpectedly. They lose at times. Why would we even watch this sport if we could predict it 100%?
Yeah, I know.
Why the hell would we watch it? The unpredictable nature and the millions of moving parts and the millions of variables is what makes it so beautiful.
I agree 100%.
It's what makes it so incredible. Like you have to watch Tony fight RDA.
True, but at the same time, we look, it's the 80-20 thing that 80% is this casual fan base, and they fund everything. They're the ones that, you know what I mean?
When you get 1.3 million pay-per-views, a million of them are people who only watch two fights.
Exactly.
A year.
They only watch Ronda, and they only watch Conor, or whatever the UFC marketing machine tells them to do. So, and what do these people want to see? Again, when I've gone to Boston Pizza. I've seen what those people want. They want a
tasty
dominant
pizza.
Champion. Tasty pizza, even tastier beer. But they want a dominant champion. Yeah. They want a Ronda that just throws people onto the ground and arm locks them. They want a cyborg that tears across the ring and beats the shit out of her opponent. They want the fighters like Cowboy Cerrone. It's like, 25 minutes is a long time. Can you wrap this up?
Yeah, can you kick that guy in the
head in the first round or second round? Yeah. That's what they're looking at. So as much as I agree with you 100% that it's the intricacies and the details and the fact that there's so many variables when it comes to wins and losses, that's just too much work for people to, what do you mean?
Yeah. Tell me who's going to win.
Exactly.
Win.
What's your
pick? If I knew, I wouldn't watch it. I mean, I think Wonderboy will have his way with Tyron Woodley exactly the same way he's had his way with every other manifestation of the explosive wrestler with good boxing.
Yeah.
But he might not.
You wouldn't be surprised if he did exactly what he did to Stephen Thompson, just lined him up,
Robbie Lawler. I would be surprised.
Would you?
But would I bet my house that it
won't
happen?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Because I still need to see it happen, and I will be thrilled to be wrong because the next couple of months I'll have all this study make sense of it. See, how did he beat that?
What's the next wave? Yeah.
What type of training did that take for months? How did he plan that? How did they know he would go there? The reason I'll be excited about this forever is because it'll change forever. You'll be shocked forever. That's a good thing. And Snowden, that was the guy.
Yeah.
And who I like, he's a nice guy, but I just couldn't be on Twitter with him anymore if he thinks, like, stake in your ground, RDA by decision, is more intelligent than, I don't know.
I'm blocking him from Twitter.
You're not on Twitter. He is on Twitter, kind of. But I don't know is a really fair answer to things.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when your job is to know. Because you can show somebody, look, there's no knowing. Anybody who tells you that they're an expert is a liar. There are no experts in the art of fighting. There are only good students.
Yeah.
And just by... you can be a good student at any level, but there's always an infinite amount to study and learn. And that's exciting.
Yeah, super exciting.
That's exciting.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking more about the Fight Night card going down in Mexico City, as well as TKO 36. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. We're chatting about UFC Fight Night, Dos Anjos versus Ferguson, that goes down November 5th in Mexico City. We were talking earlier about the main event, the lightweight tilt between RDA and Ferguson. We want to look at some of the other fights in the card. We have Diego Sanchez taking on the former Bellator standout, as you will, Marcin Held. And I think that Marcin Held, he's due. I think that he trains with Joanna and Jacek. I really think that this is going to be a coming out party for this youngster. 22-4. Diego just has a lot of miles. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
But he better be ready, though, Diego.
Yeah, I know.
What are you
going to
do?
And that's one thing I like about Marcin Held, is that he is going to be ready. He's very, very even keel. Sometimes he tends to make his game a little jiu-jitsu-centric, if that's the right word.
Oh, Diego's thrilled for that.
Yeah. So that's why I'm hoping to see a lot of scrambles, a lot of movement, a lot of transitions.
So I mentioned, Joe, what was I saying that... Once ever. You know, another thing Joe says, that guy's a savage.
Yeah.
And Diego is.
He is.
That's what a savage is.
Exactly.
And so you have to be ready. You have to know what that is. I mean, remember Jake Ellenberger beating up Diego, and then round three, Ellenberger really never had that kind of handled, face that kind of intensity ever again after that. So you have to be ready. You can be dominating Diego Sanchez for two rounds and then get killed.
And this is why I believe that Marcin Held will be that guy. he fought Boris Mankowski, who we called in KSW. Yeah. He's been in there with Michael Chandler. Unfortunately, lost to Michael Chandler, but it's
Mike's
Michael Chandler. Defeated Rich Clemente. Defeated Ryan Healy. Beat Patricky Pitbull Freite.
But you're describing guys like, who did you say, Ryan Healy and... Rich Clemente. But you understand how good these guys are, how tough and rugged, and how they have this Diego Sanchez thing. They are savages too. You understand that. But those things that you said there, some other people would be like, so what? I mean, who are those guys? But Rich Clemente and Ryan, those are exactly, like, you just nailed exactly what Diego is.
And that's what I mean.
No, yeah.
And then on top of that, he went five rounds with Will Brooks. So these are all, he's not going to be uncomfortable in these spots.
True.
It's like, I fought tough veterans like Rich Clemente. This guy, if he wants to hurt you, he's going to hurt you. That's the reality of things.
And he's going to, like, go at an intensity, a super high intensity the whole way. And if you can't keep up, you can't keep up.
And you and I had a chance to hang out with Rich Clemente, and this is a type of guy, he's like, I don't care about wins and losses. As long as I know I go out and try my best and try to smoke the person standing across the cage.
God, I can't even imagine
what
he could... That's a heavy night.
So when I look at that, Diego Sanchez, Marcin Held, I wouldn't be surprised if it was fight of the night. Charles Oliveira, Ricardo Lamas, great fight. Benil Dariush, Magomedov.
Great night
Just
of fights.
A really solid night of mixed martial arts. Of those fights, is there one individual, is there one fight you're looking forward to more specifically?
I'm most interested to see Tony Ferguson fight. I really am. I'm interested too. I like the idea that this sort of coloring outside the lines approach to fighting and finding, okay, this, if I do this, one of my weaknesses X, Y, and Z happens. So I have to master that area. It's a weird game that he's put together. But he also went, and he's gone to Big Bear, so he's at elevation. He's training at elevation with his own guys and his own team in the way he wants. So he's embracing this idea of the randomness and the off-the-beaten-track approach to fighting. Like, he had a Wing Chun dummy going, which is cool.
Is one of those planets a 10th planet on your shirt?
I got 31 on here and here. But his approach with Eddie Bravo, which is different. At the very least, and I've sat and had conversations with jiu-jitsu guys about Eddie, and it's weird. When you do something different, there will always be people who don't want it to be true. But so take away what somebody's opinion may be, even though Eddie has proved his system over and over, and he will continue to, in mixed martial arts in particular. But at the very least, you don't want to accept how that something is a different evolution. Fine, you don't have to. But you have to accept that different is a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
And different is – if you're accustomed to a guy against the fence fighting this position and this position and this position and his hip, and all of a sudden instead he's the guy who laces the leg, it's new. Once it's happened a few times, you start to train for that. And then he changes. That's how Eddie's approach is. Eddie's approach is jiu-jitsu around jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Because...
But it's jiu-jitsu for MMA, yeah. Essentially,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's... Which is also why he's added strikes
exactly.
to his tournaments,
EBI, yeah.
Which is going to be super.
It's going to
cool.
be awesome.
But what is jiu-jitsu? Like, what is fighting? So I go to pressure you,
yep.
And you're new, and it's weird, and you don't like it, you turn your back. Because that's instinctive. So that's what I find is under duress, this is what you do. So I build something for that. Then after you train, you find, okay, I can't. I got to turn back into him. And then we build something for that. And it's just an ongoing you have a weakness, so we take advantage of it. You repair yeah. it. We take advantage of it. And outside of that climb up is all of this space. And Eddie has gone and explored those spaces. This is about be like water. So this crashes.
Yeah, I love
Bruce
that,
Lee,
by the way.
It crashes, and it goes up into a tidal wave. And then there's another panel of Bruce, and it says flow, and it goes up there. And be like water talks about flowing through the cracks.
Yeah.
You know, if you put water in a cup, it becomes a cup. You put water in a bottle, it becomes a bottle. You put water in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. And Eddie's idea stays in line with that. Wherever there are holes and cracks, he'll flow into them and build something
yeah,
out of
amazing.
It.
Amazing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will hear from the main eventer and co-main eventer for TKO 36, Chris Horodesky, and the gentleman, Josh Hill, when Five Rounds Today continues. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Coming up this Friday night, November 4th, it is the return of TKO, TKO 36 Resurrection. We are joined on the line by the main eventer, the Polish Hammer, Chris Horodesky. Just kind of getting things together as you're going to be leading into the main event on Friday night. Chris, how you feeling, man?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for having me. Yeah, feeling good. It's fight week, few days out. And ready to make my homecoming.
Chris, you've done this so many times, getting ready for so many fights. You look at your record, almost 30 professional fights. Is the routine the same every single time, or do you try to change things up, keep things fresh, so to speak?
It's a similar routine. You know, it's what's done well for me. But, you know, there's always adapting, always learning curves and making adjustments. But, yeah, it's same story, man, different day.
You know what, Chris? You have a slightly different connection to Ramdeen and I. Did you know that?
Absolutely.
our very first broadcast ever, John Ramdeen and myself, you were the third guy in the booth.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. No, it goes a ways back. I cornered you, I believe it was your first fight, Robin.
Yes, you did. Twice.
First few fights, so... Yeah, definitely.
And we are here commentating, which is where we should be, and you're fighting in the main event, which is exactly where you should be.
Exactly. Chris, just explain this journey for people that don't know. Of course, TKO, one of the longest-running mixed martial arts promotions in Canada, one of the greatest MMA promotions maybe ever in the history of the game, and you really started your journey as a man in the TKO organization. What has it been like growing up in the world of mixed martial arts? Because when you were growing up, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as the sport of mixed martial arts. Now you were pushed head first, or you jumped in feet first into the deep end of the pool. What has the journey been like for you?
It's been great, man. It's been a great ride. The experiences that I've had, the people that I've met, you know what I mean? And being able to do what I love to do at the highest level, you know, for this long. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. It's I'm pretty fortunate I got the same crew with me since the start, the whole way through, so it's pretty awesome in that sense. And now TKO, where I started my career, myself, Mark Hominick, Sam Stout, you know, names that have you know, broke out the sport in mixed martial arts in Canada and in the world internationally. It's where we started, and to make the homecoming, to come back to where it all began, it's kind of surreal. Yeah, I definitely didn't want to miss this one.
Yeah, it's awesome having you in the main event, man. It's going to be spectacular. Something I often wonder about with a martial artist at your level, with the amount of your life you've dedicated to it, are you self-aware enough to be able to tell what you're better at, little details of what you're better at than you were 9 months ago and 18 months ago? Can you look at yourself and see how your right hand has got better or the low kick? Like, are you able to do that ongoing?
Yeah, definitely. There's always self-reflection, thinking about what you've done, where you've put your work in, trying to really strengthen your weaknesses and make stronger your strengths. So, I think I've been constantly working, and I got a better skill set now than I ever had. So, I'm happy with the progress I've made.
Are you happy when people look at you and your teammates, anybody that represents Team Tompkins Adrenaline Training Center, as kickboxers? Because I think that's what thrills the casual audience is your specific style. But I think if anybody that digs a little bit deeper and looks at your last number of fights, whether it be the fight with Palmer or any of your fights in World Series of Fighting, we're seeing a lot of takedowns from you. So we're not just seeing that stand-up game. Is it important for you to showcase those abilities? Meanwhile, the crowd, even if you know that the crowd wants you guys to stand up or wants you specifically because of your Thai boxing background?
It's evolution, man. It's evolution of the sport. It's 2016. You can't have the skill set you had 10 years ago. Everybody's got to get better. Everyone's got to know. Everybody knows everything now, right? So what a mixed martial arts artist is now is not what it was when the sport first started. It is important to keep showcasing your skills, but make the fight exciting. That's what the crowd comes there for.
How do you what do you do specifically to be able to be standing in there in the main event on Friday and be ready to have fun? Like, how can you get yourself into the state where you don't feel the pressure, you don't feel expectations, you're just in there having fun? Is there a process for you?
I'm fortunate, man, to be doing what I'm doing. This is my 30th pro fight, and to still be able to compete at the highest level here, represent my team, my country. You know what I mean? I'm very, very fortunate what I do, man. And a lot of people like to be in my shoes, so I'm loving it, man. I'm gonna capture it, man. I'm just gonna go out there and just be myself.
Do you believe that right now is the best version of you, really in the prime of your life? You seem, despite the fact that you're coming off of a loss, you've seen your own personal evolution. You know what you bring to the table. As a matter of fact, when I was doing the study on some of your last fights, Henzo Gracie, who was commentating your last fight, talks about the fact that you're just so calm. It's one of your biggest strengths, is your ability to just stay relaxed inside of the cage or ring. Is that something conscious?
Yeah, it's familiar territory. You know what I mean? I was doing this. You know, this is my school. This is my this is what I've studied. You know what I mean? I started martial arts from a very, very young age, and I was competing at a high level at a very, very young age. And this is all common ground for me, and it's what I love to do. So I enjoy it. I'm enjoying it still, which is that's fortunate. But yeah, you know, a clear head, clear mind, you know, operates best.
We know you're doing probably one of your last training sessions today. What is it? Super short? Just hit mitts with Mark? What are you doing
short,
today?
Short and sweet. Just preparation, game plan. Get the weight down and yeah, just recover for Friday night. And it's close. I'm excited.
Now, when you look at Derek Gauthier as an opponent, we haven't, you know, you really can't look at tape at him because
it's old.
He's been out of the game for a couple of years. Are you trying to anticipate what type of athlete's going to be in front of you? Or something I've heard from Mark and Sam in the past, that we're not concerned with what they're going to do. You're just going to go out and execute your game plan. Don't you have to be kind of prepared to expect to face a certain evolved Derek Gauthier?
No, absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure he hasn't been sleeping for 2 years. You know what I mean? He's been training and working and improving his skill set. When you look at tape, when you look at this, you get a good idea of what somebody presents. But then you got to remember that's not you fighting there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the big defining thing, right? Like, that's not you. So he's never fought you. So I'm expecting the best, man. He's coming off a layoff, too. I've been out for a year. I'm expecting the best Jerry Gaethje there. And we're ready to put it on, man.
TKO 36 goes down Friday night from Latohu in Montreal. Chris Horodesky in the main event taking on Derek Gaethje. Best of luck to you on Friday, Chris, and we'll see you in Montreal.
I appreciate it, guys. See you there.
Cheers,
everybody,
brother.
Everybody, I'll see you. Great to be back, man.
Thanks for your time, Chris. So we're going to take a timeout when we come back. More of Five Rounds Today. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ram, Dean, and Black with you. Coming up Friday night is the return of TKO, TKO 36. We are joined on the line by the gentleman Josh Hill, one of Canada's top 135-pounders, maybe the best 135-pounder in the Great White North. Going to be taking on Xavier Aloui. And Josh, we'll have to say, right from the get-go, and I know you're not going to underestimate your opponent. You know that anybody that steps into the cage with you is going to present a challenge. But this almost seems like a little bit of a mismatch in the fact that even though Aloui is a very talented prospect, he hasn't been in your shoes before.
I wouldn't say it's a mismatch by any means. You know, he's an undefeated guy, 7-0.
Yep.
I don't think he's fought nearly the competition that I have.
And that's what we look at.
Yeah. I've watched him. I watched some of his fights, and he looks like he's talented. He's got skill. Looks like a tough kid. And he is, you know, pretty much me 3 years ago, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not going to take him lightly. It's a tough fight, and I'm coming, and obviously I'd be my best.
Now, you don't want to, you know, ever get sort of reckless or over-aggressive, but at the same time, how can you use the fact that a guy has never even had sort of a higher-level guy or a mid-level guy yet? How can you make him taste that and it really shock him early?
That's pretty much it. Put it on him early. I'm going to, you know, once he feels my strength, my explosiveness and my athleticism, I think he, you know, might be in for an awakening a bit. And he'll realize that he's in there with, you know, not just some schlub. He's in there with a world-class level guy. So, and I think that, slowly break his spirit as the fight goes on, or just break it right away. So that's the plan, just kind of break him and see how long it takes.
It seems, Josh, that the entire game has come together for you. You just seem like you're evolving the way that you need to evolve. Where do you feel that you've grown when you look at your journey, say, over the last 5 years? Where have you grown most as a martial artist? Not necessarily in certain techniques, in certain disciplines, but just what area do you feel that you're the most confident when you step inside of the cage?
Early in my career, I got kind of labeled as a wrestler, grinder guy type guy, take your decision, grind you out. But, I think I just got more confident showing my striking in the cage. I did it in the training all the time, but, I think it wasn't until, you know, probably my 10th fight, my Mike Adams fight, where I actually just let my hands go and show what I do every day in training. And I think that kind of put me over the edge. It gave me the confidence to go out there and actually do it and put it all together. So I think, I'd say my striking has improved the most. And I think just my confidence and willingness to exchange in the cage and whatnot.
And how did you go through that door? Where did the confidence come to be able to finally say, hey, I'm gonna do this fight, and then subsequently moving forward after that? Was there a certain point where somebody told you, or you just felt it?
I think it was after Ultimate Fighter, to be honest. You know, I just said, you know, I got to win this fight. It was my first fight after it, and I was really wanting to make a statement, really, and show that I wasn't just a wrestler or, you know, grappler. I think that's just kind of where the word happened then.
Josh, when we've commentated your fights or seen you in the gym, the way you move on your feet now, you show lots of different looks. You don't settle into any stance or rhythm. Is that feel, or are those patterns that you've kind of developed with your kickboxing training?
It's kind of a bit of both. I started just with kind of the feel that I like, kind of just moving all over the place. And then once I went down to Team Alpha Male and started training with Ludwig was there at the time, and like Dillashaw and those guys, I really liked their style. It kind of matched my body type and the way I move and the athleticism. So I kind of adapted that and just kind of worked on it more and more, and kind of just incorporated my game, and now it's just, you know, what I do now. It just doesn't feel natural to staying in one stance anymore. I have to switch it up, and I like to bounce around and change angles and whatnot. So I really, you know, just kind of evolved with that.
Sometimes in the gym, you know, there you get into a rhythm where you get in and just work, and you work hard. Other times you kind of have big breakthroughs where just something seems really new, or you're able to, something surprises you. Is there anything kind of new you've been seeing or learning or feeling in the gym in the last, you know, 4 months, 6 months?
My kicks. I think that's one thing. You know, I'm not a flexible guy. So that was always something that was hard for me to do, but they've, you know, come a long way. And, you know, I see my fight with Bendy Casimir. I dropped him, I think, like two or three times with body kicks. So those are things that I've been working on, and they're flowing way more naturally now than they were ever before.
It's a nice feeling to hit somebody in the body and they fall down, eh?
It feels amazing.
Now, when you look at I have to bring up the two losses, because I think Marlon Moraes is one of these athletes that very few people realize how good he is. And it feels like you coming out of those two fights with Marlon Moraes, you're a better fighter than when you went into those fights. What can you take away from those losses?
Yeah, they suck, obviously. You know, nobody wants to lose.
Of course.
But, you know, I am losing. You know, Marlon's good. I think he's ranked number 5 in the world right now. And he's a world title holder, which is what I fought for him twice for. But the first fight did give me some confidence booster, because it showed that I went 5 rounds with him, and it was a close fight, and then, you know, I did a lot of more damage to him than he did to me, actually.
Yep.
And then the second fight, I felt amazing, actually. The first round, I thought towards the end, I was kind of taken over, and I felt in control, and I felt great. And I came back to my corner, and I didn't even take one deep breath. I felt great. And then the second round, I came out, and I got too over aggressive, maybe, or just it was bad timing on my part, good timing on his part, and I got caught with that kick right in the side of the head, and he jumped on me and swarmed me and finished me off. I think it was just kind of one of those things, you get caught. It's never happened before, but it sucks. But
are you the type of athlete that likes to take positives away from every type of performance that you have, win or lose?
I try to. You know, it's hard to do it. You know, I was pissed off with it just because I knew that, you know, I could have went a totally different way than it did, and I just felt amazing in there. But, yeah, you know, I think I look at the first round, and I could take that as a positive say that I was doing exactly what I wanted to do, and I felt good doing it until that second round.
Josh, did you grow up on TKO like we did, that being almost, you know, the Canadian UFC as you were growing up?
Yeah, I remember watching before I even started training, actually. And a couple of buddies of mine, like, were fighting, like, Adrian Woolley and Justin Bruckman and Monkey and all those guys. But, it's pretty cool that now it's back and I'm fighting on it, because it was gone before I even started fighting.
Mm-hmm. Last thing I want to ask you before we let you go, talk about your training camp. Is there anybody that you worked specifically with to get you ready for the return of TKO?
I actually stay home this camp. Usually I go out to Sacramento to Alpha Male, but I decided to stay home this one. And I worked a lot at Parabellum MMA. Mm-hmm. Rory McDonald and actually Lennon Whitlock has kind of stepped up more as a coaching role.
Cool.
And he's been helping me a lot with that. And, you know, training with Mitch Gagnon's back now, too. That's another good body to have in the gym. You know, we push each other really, really well. So. And everybody pretty much at Parabellum, all the pros that come down there, and we get together a few days a week and really push each other.
Josh, thanks so much for the time. We wish you best of luck on Friday night. Josh Gentleman Hill will be taking on Xavier Aloui Friday night. It's the return of TKO, TKO 36 Resurrection. Josh, best of luck. We'll see you in Montreal.
Thanks, guys. See you there.
Thanks, man.
We're going to take a timeout. More of 5 Rounds Today when we come back. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ramdean and Black with you. Finished on the line with Josh Hill and Chris Horodesky as both are getting set for big fights in Montreal. The return of TKO 36 Resurrection. You and I will be there in Montreal. And then the following night, we're going to be in Kingston, I believe. We'll have a chance to watch the UFC as well as the 10 Falcon Fights is what I hear.
Yeah, Falcon Fights in Kingston. It's an amateur show. Hayabusa is involved with helping promote it. So, yeah, that's going to be really exciting. Awesome weekend. We got to tape Tony and RDA and then somehow or watch it. Maybe we can get it recorded on our computers and watch it after. Yeah, that's going to be a challenge. But I'm excited to see young guys fight in Kingston too.
Yeah.
So a whole weekend commentating Friday, watching fights Saturday, then watching the UFC Saturday and Sunday, and then doing five rounds on Monday, and the cycle continues forever.
And luckily for us, we have the great fortune of being welcome to many mixed martial arts gyms, the highest level. We'll probably make our way to the TriStar Academy.
I'd like to train with Crew Ash.
Do some training there, and then, you know, pick some brains.
Boris.
Those guys.
Sherbatov, Yanni Sherbatov is in The Ultimate Fighter.
So, obviously, when you look at Tony Ferguson and Rafael Dos Anjos, RDA, the former lightweight champion, is it as simple as you get an impressive win over him and you're going to be challenging for the title again? Or I know it all depends.
I think if Tony wins, he's in line up there. Eddie can beat Conor. We know that.
Conor can beat Eddie. Of course.
We know that too. I would like to see Tony Ferguson fight either one of those.
Okay, so this would happen.
But if RDA wins, is he? There's all the variables.
All the variables.
We can't pretend
to
exist.
I know.
Selling pay per views and all that.
So
shit.
when you look at that, when you look at UFC 205, the main event, Eddie Alvarez beats Conor McGregor. He's the champion. Conor's like, okay, I go back down to 45, right?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and if Conor defeats Eddie Alvarez,
then he stays at 55.
He stays at 55 and gives up the 45-pound title. And what do you see as the landscape of things? Like, what is the biggest fight if Conor McGregor becomes the 55-pound champion? Is that Nathan Diaz? The third fight between Nathan Diaz for the title?
When he wants it. Diaz is going to do what he wants, and that's what he should do. And that's, we admire that. And he may want it, he may not. The dude made $20 million before that. He was broken. Now he's made a bunch of money, had exciting fights. He loves big fights. He loves the action, but he also loves
a big fight.
His own time.
Sure.
So
sure.
He'll do it. That fight will happen when Diaz wants it to happen.
Right.
Because Conor, that's money, and it's at a lighter weight now, which he believes will help him. It's money.
Yeah, exactly.
So when Diaz wants it, it'll happen.
Sure. So you don't expect that would be...
I don't think if I'm Nate, I want it now. I'm going to chill. I'm going to explore some other things. I'm going to train.
You're not saying, actually, I want it to happen, UFC 209?
Maybe. That'd be pretty cool.
Conor McGregor versus Nathan Diaz.
McGregor at 145. Again, these are all theories.
What ifs, of course.
But Max Holloway or Pettis... against him at 145.
Way too
Max
many
Holloway rematch or Pettis.
I'm with you. That's way too many great fights at 145 or 155 pounds. Definitely keep your eyes peeled because over the next year, hopefully, we'll get things sorted out. That is it for us. Another show in the books. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Mr. Robin Black, our producer Chase Kaiser, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I'm John Ramdean. We'll see you guys next time on Five Rounds Today.